From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
President Donald Trump and his Democratic Party opposition in Congress went to the airwaves Tuesday night to talk about the wall and government shutdown. The exchange began with this from the president.
My fellow Americans, tonight I am speaking to you because there is a growing humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border. Every day, Customs and Border Patrol agents encounter thousands of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country. We are out of space to hold them, and we have no way to promptly return them back home to their country. America proudly welcomes millions of lawful immigrants who enrich our society and contribute to our nation. But all Americans are hurt by uncontrolled illegal migration. It strains public resources and drives down jobs and wages. Among those hardest hit are African Americans and Hispanic Americans. Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border. More Americans will die from drugs this year than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. In the last 2 years, ICE officers made 266,000 arrests of aliens with criminal records, including those charged or convicted of 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent killings. Over the years, thousands of Americans have been brutally killed by those who illegally entered our country, and thousands more lives will be lost if we don't act right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, a crisis of the heart, and a crisis of the soul. Last month, 20,000 migrant children were illegally brought into the United States, a dramatic increase. These children are used as human pawns by vicious coyotes and ruthless gangs. One in three women are sexually assaulted on the dangerous trek up through Mexico. Women and children are the biggest victims, by far, of our broken system. This is the tragic reality of illegal immigration on our southern border. This is the cycle of human suffering that I am determined to end. My administration has presented Congress with a detailed proposal to secure the border and stop the criminal gangs, drug smugglers, and human traffickers. It's a tremendous problem. Our proposal was developed by law enforcement professionals and border agents at the Department of Homeland Security. These are the resources they have requested to properly perform their mission and keep America safe. In fact, safer than ever before. The proposal from Homeland Security includes cutting-edge technology for detecting drugs, weapons, illegal contraband, and many other things. We have requested more agents, immigration judges, and bed space to process the sharp rise in unlawful migration fueled by our very strong economy. Our plan also contains an urgent request for humanitarian assistance and medical support. Furthermore, we have asked Congress to close border security loopholes so that illegal immigrant children can be safely and humanely returned back home. Finally, as part of an overall approach to border security, law enforcement professionals have requested $5.7 billion for a physical barrier. At the request of Democrats, it will be a steel barrier rather than a concrete wall. This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense. The border wall would very quickly pay for itself. The cost of illegal drugs exceeds $500 billion a year, vastly more than the $5.7 billion we have requested from Congress. The wall will also be paid for indirectly by the great new trade deal we have made with Mexico. Senator Chuck Schumer, who you will be hearing from later tonight, has repeatedly supported a physical barrier in the past, along with many other Democrats. They changed their mind only after I was elected president. Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis, and they have refused to provide our brave border agents with the tools they desperately need to protect our families and our nation. The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security. My administration is doing everything in our power to help those impacted by the situation. But the only solution is for Democrats to pass a spending bill that defends our borders and reopens the government. This situation could be solved in a 45-minute meeting. I have invited congressional leadership to the White House tomorrow to get this done. Hopefully, we can rise above partisan politics in order to support national security. Some have suggested a barrier is immoral. Then why do wealthy politicians build walls, fences, and gates around their homes? They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside. The only thing that is immoral is the politicians to do nothing and continue to allow more innocent people to be so horribly victimized. America's heart broke the day after Christmas when a young police officer in California was savagely murdered in cold blood by an illegal alien who just came across the border. The life of an American hero was stolen by someone who had no right to be in our country. Day after day, precious lives are cut short by those who have violated our borders. In California, an Air Force veteran was raped, murdered, and beaten to death with a hammer by an illegal alien with a long criminal history. In Georgia, an illegal alien was recently charged with murder for killing, beheading, and dismembering his neighbor. In Maryland, MS-13 gang members who arrived in the United States as unaccompanied minors were arrested and charged last year after viciously stabbing and beating a 16-year-old girl. Over the last several years, I've met with dozens of families whose loved ones were stolen by illegal immigration. I've held the hands of the weeping mothers and embraced the grief-stricken fathers. So sad, so terrible. I will never forget the pain in their eyes, the tremble in their voices, and the sadness gripping their souls. How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job? For those who refuse to compromise in the name of border security, I would ask, imagine if it was your child, your husband, or your wife, whose life was so cruelly shattered and totally broken. To every member of Congress, pass a bill that ends this crisis. To every citizen, call Congress and tell them to finally, after all of these decades, secure our border. This is a choice between right and wrong, justice and injustice. This is about whether we fulfill our sacred duty to the American citizens we serve. When I took the oath of office, I swore to protect our country. And that is what I will always do. So help me God. Thank you. and good night.
The Democratic Party leaders from both houses of Congress gave a reply, beginning with this from Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to speak directly to the American people tonight about how we can end this shutdown and meet the needs of the American people. Sadly, much of what we heard from President Trump throughout this senseless shutdown has been full of misinformation and even malice. The president has chosen fear. We want to start with the facts. The fact is, on the very first day of this Congress, House Democrats passed Senate Republican legislation to reopen government and fund smart, effective border security solutions. But the president is rejecting these bipartisan bills which would reopen government over his obsession with forcing American taxpayers to waste billions of dollars on an expensive and ineffective wall, a wall he always promised Mexico would pay for. The fact is, President Trump has chosen to hold hostage critical services for the health, safety, and well-being of the American people and withhold the paychecks of 800,000 innocent workers across the nation, many of them veterans. He promised to keep government shut down for months or years, no matter whom it hurts. That's just plain wrong. The fact is, we all agree we need to secure our borders while honoring our values. We can build the infrastructure and roads at our ports of entry. We can install new technology to scan cars and trucks for drugs coming into our nation. We can hire the personnel we need to facilitate trade and immigration at the border. We can fund more innovation to detect unauthorized crossings. The fact is, the women and children at the border are not a security threat. They are a humanitarian challenge, a challenge that President Trump's own cruel and counterproductive policies have only deepened. And the fact is, President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis, and must reopen the government. Thank you. Leader Schumer.
Thank you, Speaker Pelosi. My fellow Americans, we address you tonight for one reason only. The President of the United States, having failed to get Mexico to pay for his ineffective, unnecessary border wall, and unable to convince the Congress or the American people to foot the bill, has shut down the government. American democracy doesn't work that way. We don't govern by temper tantrum. No president should pound the table and demand he gets his way, or else the government shuts down, hurting millions of Americans who are treated as leverage. Tonight, and throughout this debate, and throughout his presidency, President Trump has appealed to fear, not facts, division, not unity. Make no mistake, Democrats and the president both want stronger border security. However, we sharply disagree with the president about the most effective way to do it. So, how do we untangle this mess? Well, there's an obvious solution. Separate the shutdown from arguments over border security. There is bipartisan legislation supported by Democrats and Republicans to reopen government while allowing debate over border security to continue. There is no excuse for hurting millions of Americans over a policy difference. Federal workers are about to miss a paycheck. Some families can't get a mortgage to buy a new home. Farmers and small businesses won't get loans they desperately need. Most presidents have used Oval Office addresses for noble purposes. This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis, stoke fear, and divert attention from the turmoil in his administration. My fellow Americans, there is no challenge so great that our nation cannot rise to meet it. We can reopen the government and continue to work through disagreements over policy. We can secure our border without an ineffective, expensive wall. And we can welcome legal immigrants and refugees without compromising safety and security. The symbol of America should be the Statue of Liberty, not a 30-foot wall. So our suggestion is a simple one. Mr. President, reopen the government and we can work to resolve our differences over border security. But end this shutdown now. Thank you.
There was good news recently for imprisoned journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. BlackAgendaReport.com's Glenn Ford spoke with Professor Johanna Fernandez to discuss a possible way home for the imprisoned journalist.
Supporters of Mumia Abu-Jamal are ecstatic over a Philadelphia judge's decision that could allow the nation's best-known political prisoner another chance to appeal his conviction in the death of a police officer 37 years ago. We asked Professor Johanna Fernandez of the campaign to bring Mumia home if there's finally a real pathway to freedom for Abu-Jamal.
We do indeed. And this is, again, unprecedented because the courts, year after year, have refused to hear arguments on the unconstitutionality and violations of conduct by the prosecutor, the judge, and the police in the original conviction trial of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And now, for the first time, a judge in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas, has said that there, in fact, was bias, judicial bias, in the review of a series of appellate hearings that Mumia requested in the 1990s. So this is really groundbreaking opening in this case that I think, if we win, will strike a blow to white supremacy in this country, because Mumia's case has been heralded by the Fraternal Order of Police and by politicians as the major law and order case of this contemporary moment in American history. And they've used the case to essentially galvanize and strengthen the criminal justice system.
Now, what the Superior Court Judge Leon Tucker ruled was that there was an appearance of bias because the former prosecutor, Ronald Castile, who went on to become a Supreme Court judge, then was allowed to sit in on the deliberations over Mumia's previous appeals. Now, Castile won't be allowed to sit in on any future appeals, but you're going up against the same Supreme Court without him. Why are the prospects better?
Well, I think the prospects are better for the same reason that this law and order judge, Leon Tucker, ruled in favor of Mumia. This is a different moment in American history. Ironically, we have an arsonist in the White House, but a series of movements have in fact shifted consciousness on the ground and exposed the criminality, if you will, of the criminal justice system. So we have to thank the movement that organized around the execution of Troy Davis. I want to remind you that this is really the moment when this shift began. There was an international movement to stop the execution of Troy Davis that lost. But that name was imprinted in the minds of people of conscience in this country. That was followed by the Occupy Wall Street movement, which essentially made it okay for the first time in American history to criticize capitalism. And then there were a series of police shootings of Black people in this country that led to the Black Lives Matter movement. And that, combined with the publication of Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, means that people in the mainstream today acknowledge that there is a great problem with police brutality and mass incarceration. At the same time, we have a situation in which even conservative judges across the country understand that if we don't hold the line to essentially legitimize the criminal justice system at a time when Trump is in the White House, all legitimacy of the system will be lost. So even conservative judges are ruling in ways that they had not previously. So this is the context within which this new opportunity is presented to us. And what we need to make sure is that we continue to shift consciousness on the issues and the violations surrounding the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And we need to once again make the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal a household discussion.
Yes, I remember in the 1980s, the Philadelphia chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists, of which Mumia was a founding member, didn't want to have anything to do with him as a defendant. And yet now the NAACP is part of his defense, and Mumia's plight has become, in a sense, somewhat mainstreamed.
Right. So part of what happened in an earlier epoch, I say epoch because this case has been litigated in the court system for 37 years. So we've seen generations come and go. And at the height of the movement, Mumia was a villain in the public eye. The Fraternal Order of Police demonized him. He was the poster child of the Fraternal Order of Police, and he symbolized the reason for them, for the Fraternal Order of Police and their supporters, the reasons why the apparatus of incarceration needed to be cranked up. I don't know if you remember, but in the 1990s, Mumia was named in a mainstream newspaper a super predator by a criminologist, a well-known criminologist. He literally began an article, I think in the New York Times, identifying Mumia and the likes of Mumia as a super predator who essentially was a threat to security in the United States. But that was in the 1990s, ironically, at the height of the movement that stopped Mumia's execution. But unfortunately, the policies of the Clintons reigned supreme during that period, and the apparatus of incarceration was cranked up. But again, this is a new period, and the fact that a very mainstream organization is defending Mumia Abu-Jamal, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, these are the folks who argued Brown versus Board of Education, suggests that a new day has dawned, and Mumia, I believe, is coming home.
If the courts do entertain Mumia's appeal, what kind of issues will be reopened? Issues that people may have forgotten with time?
Well, one of the major issues that will be presented to the appellate court is that a court stenographer by the name of Terry Moore Carter overheard the judge who presided over the original case, Albert Szabo, say to another judge in the anteroom of the court, quote, "I'm going to help them fry the nigger," unquote, referring to how the judge was going to instruct the jury. Other issues include prosecutorial misconduct. So part of what happened during the trial was that the prosecutor suppressed exculpatory evidence, essentially that there was a fourth person at the crime scene. Another issue is that there was tampering with evidence on the part of the police. And I will remind your listening audience that a third of the police officers involved in Mumia's case who collected evidence within weeks of the end of Mumia's trial were convicted and jailed for corruption and tampering with evidence to obtain convictions. And this was part of a larger investigation conducted by the Department of Justice in 1979, in which the Department of Justice determined that the behavior of the police department in Philadelphia was homicidal. And I'm quoting that report and quote what they said about the dealings of the police department in Philadelphia was that, quote, it shocks the conscience. And so these are some of the issues that are going to be heard if the DA of Philadelphia, the progressive Larry Krasner, does not challenge the decision of Leon Tucker.
And what are the indications in terms of DA Krasner's intentions?
Maureen Faulkner, the widow of Daniel Faulkner, the police officer that Mumia is wrongfully accused of killing, was on Fox News just this weekend, essentially saying that Mumia killed her husband and she would not stop until she secures justice in this case. And she said to Fox and Friends that her people would be hearing from the DA of Philadelphia, Larry Krasner, in the next, quote, couple of days. So there is a tremendous amount of pressure placed on Larry Krasner right now by the Fraternal Order of Police. But Krasner was not elected by the Fraternal Order of Police. He was elected by the people of Philadelphia, who campaigned hard for him, and he was a candidate outside of the Democratic Party apparatus who won. This is unprecedented in the history of Philadelphia. There has been no DA in Philadelphia, either in the Democratic or Republican Party, who's been elected without the support of the Fraternal Order of Police. Larry Krasner won because the people of Philadelphia mobilized for his campaign and voted en masse. And they voted because he promised to correct the wrongs of his predecessors. And he essentially said that the prosecution's office should not be preoccupied with prosecution, but rather with justice. So we know that Larry Krasner is nationally renowned and celebrated for reforms at the local level. He has decriminalized marijuana. He has addressed the issue of police corruption and tampering with evidence. He is single-handedly responsible for freeing the hip-hop artist Meek Mill. And he even wrote a letter in support of Debbie Africa, one of the members of the Move 9 who was recently released. So the question we pose to Larry Krasner is if he's going to heed the call of Leon Tucker, who, by the way, is a law and order judge. And what he says in the decision, and I'm reading from the decision right now, is that in order for the criminal justice system to work, quote, justice must be completely just, without even a hint of partiality, lack of integrity, or impropriety, unquote. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks. In the meantime, if he appeals, this issue will wind its way through the lower courts and then the federal courts, and it will delay for sure Mumia's path to freedom.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.